I am Plante on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Kate Bird joins me again. The best-selling author has just published a new collection, Magic Moments in BC Sports, A Century in Photos. It's a great collection of 200 photographs from the archives of the Vancouver Sun and Province newspapers. The book reflects so much of the spirit of British Columbia as seen through our athletes as well as fans. There are heroes represented in the book like Terry Fox, Rick Hansen, Paralympians, and Christine Sinclair, among many others. There are iconic moments like John Landy and Roger Bannister in 1954's Miracle Mile, Nancy Greene coming home to a hero's welcome, as well as fan favorites like Doug Flutie, Trevor Linden, and Charmaine Crooks. There are those memorable photos from the championship Whitecaps winning the 1979 NASL Soccer Bowl, and of course photos from the 1994 and 2011 Stanley Cup Finals and the riots that followed. Kate Bird helped manage the photograph collection at the Vancouver Sun and Province for 25 years. Her previous books are Vancouver in the 70s and City on Edge. She conducted research on the award-winning Making Headlines, 100 Years of the Vancouver Sun. Visit katebird.ca for more. This new book is published by Greystone. Please welcome back to the Plante on the Line program, Kate Bird. Ms. Bird, good morning.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's nice to be with you.
Nice to talk again. Yeah, so as I was reading the book, as I was telling you before we started, you get a real sense of the province. You get a real sense of the people through the sports that they watch, the people that they cheer on, the sports that they play. I mean, that must have been fun as you were working on this book, Magic Moments in BC Sports, to see the history of this province over 100 years.
Yeah, and, you know, I wanted to approach it in a way as well as all the, you know, the famous people that we all know of, the you know, incredible athletes produced here, but also the community and how sports has been a big part of community building, and over the years, it played a role in that, in the development of the province.
Yeah, and we see, too, I mean, you look at a team like the Asahi, for example. You see how we view one another through how the support that they had. I mean, they were a pretty big deal. That's the other thing that I sort of overlooked over the years until I read your book, was the support for them. That was widespread, wasn't it?
They did, because they started out like many teams, you know, with ethnic communities. They would start out as a way to bring community together, and but then they became so good. They became the best team in the city. Mm-hmm. And so it transcended that, you know, they were so good. The skill that they played with, it was interesting. It was a different kind of baseball. And they were the biggest team, you know, and had many fans from all over the city.
And then you see, you follow through. And you see what happens, you know, during the war, and what happens in history, really. I mean,
yes,
it's through all these people, through these teams as well, right?
And the interesting thing too was that with the Asahi, for instance, once they were sent off to the camps, in the internment camps, they were only allowed to bring a small amount of their belongings with them. But interestingly, many of the Asahi players brought their uniforms, and many exist because they were so valuable and meaningful to them that they brought their uniforms and other memorabilia. And also they started teams at the internment camps and then started to play with the people in the towns where they were, and there was actually a league where they could move from internment camp to internment camp in order to have, matches between them. And so, in a way, it also transcended those communities because, you know, the cops and people in town used to play against the Japanese players in the internment camp. So it carried on after that, even in another form.
Yeah. The other thing that one realizes as they read your book, Kate, is the sports pages of the Sun and the Province over the years. I mean, still today, are such a big draw for readers, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it was covered so heavily. And, of course, you know, the different sports, it used to be that horse racing was huge, boxing, huge. different sports like that have come and gone over the years in prominence, depending on, you know, what was the most appealing to the readers. But you know, the sports sections were huge with lots of reporters and people who covered them for years, and also photographers who covered them for years.
Yeah, the great columnists, of course. I mean, you mentioned horse racing, Jim Coleman and Jim Taylor, of course. But really, these photos that would appear in the paper every day.
Yes, I mean, every single day.
They would be set. I mean, you know, they'd be on the cover. They'd be, you know, they'd be on in the province, for example, on the back page. I mean, they were the draw, weren't they? There were people saw at the newsstand.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what they
bought.
You know,
following their teams and following the action. You know, they didn't have the instant replay or looking on the internet or YouTube. You know, you had to read about it in the newspaper or hear it on the radio.
So when your book hit my desk in the summer, near the end of the summer there, I thought it was going to be, you know, just the Canucks and the Lions you know, the 2010 Olympics, say. But then one reads the book and realizes there's so much more. You've touched on it already. I mean, the amateur sport, for example, the high school sports.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something that the Sun and the Province covered a great deal over the years.
Yes, absolutely. And I wanted to bring that in, kind of sports, not just as, you know, the stars of the sport, but also, and the regular teams. There's lots of books about there's whole books, many of them, about the Canucks and the Lions and other teams. But it was more the sports, in a way, as social history, as you know, into the fabric of the community. And so to bring more of those unknown athletes and stories to light.
The other thing, too, is, I mean, there's great photos of you know, the stars themselves, covered by the papers, you know, at a young age. People like Jay Triano, for example, or Trevor Linden. I mean, there's a great shot of Linden.
Right.
As a kid. You know?
With his car he bought when he got his first contract. A Mustang.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the other great stars, you know, like Silken Lauman and Charmaine Crooks, Daniel Legale, you know, as they achieved success over the years.
Yeah, a lot of the pictures are from the earlier years in their careers as well. And, you know, it's fascinating to see how long some of their careers are as well, you know, 20-year careers of being an athlete.
Then, of course, are the great heroes, the people that, you know, the icons, if you will, like people like Terry Fox and Rick Hansen.
Yes.
The wonderful shots of Paralympians and what they've done over the years. How is it for you, Kate, as the editor, to decide what's in the book? Because, I mean, there are obviously iconic shots that have to be in a book like this, you know, like the Miracle Mile, for example.
Yeah, I kind of started with that. I thought, okay, what has to be in there? And people, individuals, Nancy Green, you know, Rick Hansen, as you say, you know, Harry Jerome, and all those people. So I think that I started kind of there, and I was aware from working with the collection for years of these great photos that were in the collection. And then I also asked past and present photographers at the Vancouver Sun and Province to send me some photos that were their favorite shots. So that was great, because many of them, you know, I may not have just come across. There is so, of course, sports is so huge, and there's so many people. And then I kind of wanted the decades to represent things that were going on in a way that, the 60s being, you know, the time when women athletes really came to the fore. The big events such as the 1954 British Empire Games, the 1994 Commonwealth Games, and of course the 2010 Olympics. You know, those are the three big events that were hosted in BC and really set up a tradition of building venues. You know, the 54 Olympics resulted in British Empire Games resulted in Empire Stadium,
right,
which was the home to the new franchise of the BC Lions.
It is a great shot in the book of the Vancouver Mounties. So for people listening to us, that was a baseball team that played at Nat Bailey Stadium, and a team still occupies are the Canadians.
That's right.
The stadium doesn't look that much different than today,
no,
does it?
No, they've really done a beautiful job of kind of restoring rather than really renovating it. It's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I was going to ask you is, obviously from the early years, there's a lot of the shots are in black and white. And there's something about black and white that I just am fascinated with. I mean, you probably could see a lot more in black and white than you could in color. But in some of those early years, like that shot of the Mounties, for example, in I guess it was 1954, that was in color. Did the Sun do color shots?
Yes, they did. And they did some in the late 50s, early 60s. They started experimenting more with color. And one of the photographers, Charlie Warner, who was the one who photographed the Miracle Mile shot of Bannister and Landy, he was one of the photo editor. And they were experimenting with color. So there was this collection of images. There's another one of the 1956 rowers in Cole Harbor, and these are just gorgeous color negatives, and so surprising because you really don't. So there was a small collection of them amidst all the rest of the black and white. There's another one of Irene McDonald, a diver, once again from the Sun collection of, and they were experimenting with color, and they would often use it on just the cover of the section. So the rest of the section would be black and white, and it would just have a color image on the cover of the section. So that's where those came from, and it is a surprise when you see them amidst all the black and white.
Yeah.
Although the black and white, as you say, are just so beautiful in their own right.
So vivid, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What I enjoy about some of the color shots are you can see the city behind them. I mean, you mentioned the rowers a moment ago.
Right.
You can see Cole Harbor. The swim classes that the Sun used to have, you can see, I guess that's the northern part of Stanley Park, the North Shore as well.
Uh-huh.
It's great to see the city, isn't it?
It is, because it puts it in that context. You know, the 56 rowers, all the only tall buildings are the Hotel Vancouver and the Marine Building.
Right. You obviously could have ended up with a book that was twice or three times size that it is. So how is that difficult to cull it down, say?
Oh, it was terrible. There was so many more photos and people that I didn't get in there. But I, the other thing that I wanted was to have a real variety of sports as well. So, you know, including, like, in the later pages, MMA fighters and skateboard and, you know, things, just a real variety as much as I could, and more women than you see in a lot of sports books as well.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You mentioned a moment ago, you know, how certain sports fall out of favor with audiences, and then the rise of certain sports like MMA in recent years.
Although, you know, it's sort of connected to boxing, and boxing was huge,
right.
And, you know, less so now, but, I mean, still around, but compared to before, it was huge.
Yeah. Some of my favorite photos are some of the fun photos that you have in the book. For example, you know, Doug Hepburn trying to lift a bunch of people.
I know, that's so great.
Yeah.
That was at the Carisdale Arena.
Yeah. He was the world's strongest man at one point, wasn't he?
Yes, he absolutely was.
Yeah.
He had won also a gold medal at the 1954 British Empire Games in weightlifting.
Yeah, I'm a politics junkie, so it was fun to see Tom Campbell. And there's one goofy shot of him kissing the Stanley Cup. And
I know, I accuse him of jinxing the Canucks ever since.
That's probably right, yeah.
I know there's so many that could have, you know, we're going to have the, you know, the on Wednesday night.
Uh-huh.
They're calling it the 50th anniversary. Of course, I think it's the 49th anniversary.
Yeah.
It was 1970. But anyway, right. Of, you know, playing the LA Kings, the same as the very first Canucks game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other thing that another shot I enjoyed, it's a publicity photo at the groundbreaking of the Pacific Coliseum.
I know.
And then you have all these people who are standing on stands, I guess, representing the different sports, or the, you know, and you have everything
activities,
from, yeah,
right. that are going to happen at the Coliseum. I know it's just great. I couldn't identify. I could never find, you know, who a few of them were, but it had everything from, you know, a clown to hockey players to
professional
Terry
wrestlers.
Jerome. Yeah. You know, yeah, it was. It's pretty funny, and those are they're just such photographs from their time. You know, that kind of setup job. Which was such a big deal in the 60s, like Look magazine, Life magazine, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Percy Williams, I mean, that's a figure that we don't know much about, and you talk about him in the book.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's just a remarkable person. You know, when you think back in the early days of British Columbia, how hard it was for an athlete to even attend something like an Olympic trial or a any kind of big sporting event, because most of them were in Ontario or Quebec, and it was extremely far and expensive. So, you know, people didn't really know about these athletes. So when Percy Williams burst onto the scene by winning, you know, gold medal in the 100 and 200 at the 1928 Olympics, it was unheard of. No one had even really heard of the guy. And he was this little skinny guy from East Vancouver who was the fastest man in the world. And his, you know, ticker tape parade, and it was a really big deal. And that's another part of the book is, you know, in my essay, it's called Champions of Our Own. It's kind of that pride of, you know, that this little guy from Vancouver could be the fastest man. It gave everyone a sense of, I don't know, shared glory.
Indeed. And, I mean, that goes through to, you know, later Olympic Games, and Ross Rebliati does very well.
Yeah.
Again, the same sort of pride that we all felt, regardless of the sport itself, which we didn't really know much about, you know, snowboarding.
Yeah.
Yeah,
back then it was, of course, just a novelty.
Yeah.
Or so, you know, seemingly to some people. But, and when Nancy Greene, you know, won the Olympics as well, when she came home, you know, there was a huge parade where people, all the school kids got the day off school to go.
Yeah.
You know, that's how big it was.
And then, again, you mentioned Tom Campbell a moment ago. There he was with W.A.C. Bennett.
Yes, and he was the one who picked her up at the airport and drove her around town personally.
There's a great shot of Greg Moore, and it made me think of you know, what a big deal the Molson Indy was in this town for many years.
Oh, it sure was. And, you know, same thing. You know, Greg Moore came up, you know, from CART, and he, you know, he was having such a fantastic career. And, that's a very poignant picture, you know, with his father and, you know, killed tragically at such a young age when he had so much promise, you know, for his career. And I know, I get kind of sad seeing that one.
Yeah. Another great shot, obviously, is, I mean, I mentioned the Canucks a moment ago. Roger Nielsen, 1982, the white towels.
Oh, absolutely. Classic moment.
Yeah.
And I was just at a luncheon of BC Sports Hall of Fame. We're honoring the 1982 Canucks team.
Uh-huh.
And some of the players were there, and they were talking about how they weren't the best team, and they weren't, you know, but they just had a lot of heart, and they stuck together, and it's just kind of that gritty Vancouver Canucks kind of moment in time. And I love the pictures of the kids with all their banners, and it was a really innocent time in that, you know, they thousands would go to the airport, and all the players would be with all the, you know, crowds, and
people saw the towels on the TV, obviously, and then when they saw it in the paper the next day, you know, it became, you know, something that people throughout the city did very quickly.
Yes, it sure did. It was just instantly adopted and carries on till now.
Right, and then they obviously have a statue of Nielsen.
Yep, absolutely. Commemorating there. That moment.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a great shot too of Muhammad Ali and George Shivalo, the fight that they had. A lot of great athletes came through Vancouver through the years as well.
Oh, they sure did. And, you know, I think that there was such, the other thing that's so interesting, you know, in some of the shots too, is just the access they had, the photographers as well, to behind the scenes. They could move around, and whereas, you know, by the time it was the 2010 Olympics, it was, you know, very tightened up for lots of reasons. But still, some of the photographers, you know, have always really loved doing sports photography. All the photographers at the newspapers, they had to shoot anything, any kind of assignment that came to them.
Yeah.
But there were always certain photographers who loved shooting sports and would often, of course, they would be the ones who would go to the Olympics and cover the events and, you know, be able to really capture the skiing and the, you know, it's very hard to do.
And you knew a lot of these photographers that are represented in the book, right?
Oh, I sure do. And quite a few of them were at the book launch.
Yeah. What is it like for them to know that their work is you know, captured in a book like this?
Yeah, I think some of them really appreciate it. As I said, you know, I put out email to all the different photographers that I have their email addresses, and many of them sent me their favorite shots, and many of those are in the paper. For instance, the one of Greg Moore that you talked about, John Dennison sent that to me, and right away I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's in.
Yeah.
So that made it easy for me because, of course, there's their eye and what they consider a good shot is obviously what everyone else will consider is a good shot, too.
Indeed. How did you decide that it was going to be a football photo on the cover rather than, say, a hockey photo?
Well, that wasn't my choice. That's the publisher who decides on the cover. At first, we had, there was a bunch of different ideas, but that was chosen by the book designer of what they wanted. They prefer to have, like, one athlete.
You could have easily done a montage there or whatever, right?
Right. There was so many, and also didn't want an older picture necessarily that would make it seem like it was just historical. And also, there were some issues around copyright and such that we wanted to keep the, you know, some of the more copyright or, you know, things like NHL or FIFA or whatever off the cover.
Yeah, it's a great shot because, the Lions, I mean, they are a big deal still in this town, but, I mean, at one point, I remember talking to Jim Taylor over the years and what a big CFL fan he was.
Yeah.
People were obsessed with the Lions, and, you know, and much more than, say, even the Canucks today.
Oh, absolutely. They have they've won the Grey Cup a number of times and, you know, had a number of stars I have some. I've got G. Roy Simon in there and the different Grey Cup winners. Yes, the BC Lions have been a huge part of the city and a big sports story for many, many years.
Yeah.
Just really kind of recently that they've had a tougher time with attendance and such.
Right. You've done I've said this to you before, you've done a tremendous service in terms of capturing this history for all of us and for future readers. Is there another book, say, in the future for you?
I'm not sure. I mean, I've thought about that, and I just have to see what happens. I've done 3 books in 4 years, and that's kind of a blistering pace. I'll give that some thought. But I, you know, as they say, I wanted to, I'm glad. I'm glad people are learning a little bit more information about, you know, the sports and a little beyond what they might have known before, but also just to enjoy just the great photos, just for being a good photo.
I mentioned some of the photographers over the years. I alluded to them. Did you know Ralph Bauer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and Ralph was a really great sports photographer, and he covered horse racing specifically for many, many years. And he's still around, and he shot for the papers for 40-plus years. There's many of his photos in there, as well as people like Brian Kent, who's not around anymore, but just a fantastic sports photographer, and Jerry Carmen, who's still with the Sun and Province.
Right.
And he's been there for, once again, something like 40 years, and continues to shoot. And there's many of his, he covers all kinds of sports and was one of the early adopters of digital photography.
And these are photos in the book that you can't do with an iPhone, you know what I mean?
Oh, no. Yeah. No, you can't. And it's with the, and because also of the access, you know,
right.
you don't get that close to get the shots, you know, when, and even within the photographers, say at the Olympics, they would be jockeying for positions and such. So it there's a lot that goes into it, just the technical aspect of the photography as well as the experience and knowing about the sport, too.
Yeah. I mentioned Bauer because there's one of my favorite shots in the book is Bill Muncy and his wife, Rosemary.
Oh, I know.
They're sitting on the sofa, and this is after the Lions win the Grey Cup in 1964. And he was very successful in that game, two touchdowns in the third quarter. And they're sitting on a sofa, and he's reading a copy of The Sun. And I thought that was a great shot because only in The Sun would that run the next day, say, right?
I know. It's like, you know, here he is on the big star and reading his morning paper, which is, you know, as you know, quite a dying art in its own way. So,
yeah
I had to get some of those. And it just some of the, as they say, the funnier type of ones. There's one of, you know, water skiers and, you know, the bathtub race and a guy's got a bottle of beer and, you know, holding a bottle of beer. Yeah, there's some funny stuff.
Congratulations on this book, Kate. It's so nice to talk again, and I hope a lot of people pick this up because, as I said, it's a great, make a great gift for the holidays. But it's just a great capsule of this place and our history. As I said, you've done a great job in preserving it. Thanks for this.
Well, thanks so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
The book is called Magic Moments in BC Sports, A Century in Photos. It's published by Greystone Books. Its author, Kate Bird, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.